Hey, today we get a special opportunity to listen to a podcast that Krista Fox and I did with Brian Kelly, who is the host of Cultivate, which is a church planting podcast. And today we're going to talk about women in ministry.
Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. Today I'm talking with Brenda Leavenworth and Krista Fox about women in church planting. Brenda is the founder and president of When She Leads Ministry and is married to Pastor Ted Leavenworth of Reliance Church in Temecula, California. Krista and her family were missionaries in the Amazonian region of Brazil. She and her husband Kyle planted a church there, and Krista leads a ministry that is dedicated to helping individuals involved in human trafficking. Today we'll be discussing the contributions that women make to church planting, the challenges that women face in leadership, and how we can better equip women for ministry. We'll also talk about the future of women and the CGN network as we look to plant 1,000 churches in 10 years. This is a must-listen episode for anyone who's interested in learning more about the role of women in church planting. Some of the topics we'll be discussing on today's episode are how Brenda and Krista got started in church planting, the challenges they've faced as women in church leadership, the importance of getting women involved in leadership and ministry, the vision for women in the CGN network, and how to avoid the dangers of an overemphasis on women in ministry. So whether you're a woman who's interested in church planting, a pastor who wants to get more women involved in leadership, or just someone who's interested in learning more about women in ministry, this episode is for you. Thanks for listening. All right, welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast, and I am joined today by two lovely women who have joined us for a great talk about women in church planting and women in ministry, especially in church ministry. And I have with me Brenda Leavenworth, who is amazing, and she has spearheaded the When She Leads ministry within CGN. And I also have with me Krista Fox, and she and her husband have just moved back from Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Brazil!
Balim!
It's fun to say it. They planted a church there and had an amazing ministry. I've just gotten to know her a little bit and her story. And so I've invited them to come on to this show because we need more women involvement in church and especially in church planting. We've got a goal to plant 1,000 churches within Calvary Chapel. And, you know, it's not just us guys that are out there doing it.
Yep. You're going to need some women. Need some help.
That's right. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And we've been here at a vision meeting here at CGN and just had a great talk about the importance of supporting not only pastors' wives, but also women in ministry and churches. And I'd love to talk about it a little bit more today in regards to church planting, because it's not just the churches that are established, but it's the ones that we want to get started. And, you know, women, not even wives, some are unmarried that are instrumental in planting these churches that we're talking about. Amen. So let's get into it. First of all, though, Brenda, talk about your church and your husband, Ted, who's awesome. And he's got a podcast of his own.
Yeah, Leadership Collective. I'll put a plug in for Leadership Collective.
We'll put a link on that, Leadership Collective, with Pastor Rob Salvato, too. It's an awesome podcast, so I'm a fan. So tell us about the ministry.
So I'm from Reliance Church in Temecula, California, and Ted and I have planted two churches. One we planted in 1992 when we had no idea what it meant to church plant. We just knew that we wanted Christian friends around us. And so at that time, Calvary had the Pastors Wanted list. I don't know if you remember that.
Was that like Pastors Wanted, like dead or alive list? Or wanted pastors to
plant
churches?
We didn't know it was going to kill us, but or that people were going to put us on their posters looking for us. But
wanted.
But yeah, we started a Calvary Chapel when we didn't even know what a Calvary Chapel was. We'd never stepped foot into a Calvary Chapel. We just knew the reputation. We knew that you could call and they would send a pastor out and say, hey, we have this Bible study. Can you send us a pastor? And they did. And that took us through the first year. And then we had another guy come in that was there for 15 years. So Ted served as the executive pastor for 15. So he has, we planted the church in our living room, but we had no business being, he wasn't ready to be a pastor. So we had a pastor come in. He served as the executive pastor for 15. So we have that experience. Then in 2007, God called him to lay down his power, his position, and his paycheck And he said there was a fourth one that he wasn't quite ready for, and that was pride. And so God spent the next 2 years gutting him like a fish, he says. And so 2007, we went out on a venture of faith and started all over. And that one was harder because then we did know what we were getting to do. And so that one was a little more difficult. And so we planted a church there in Temecula thinking, why are we here? There's all these churches, but God called us to teach the Bible and teach it well and teach it thoroughly and leave the results up to Him. And so we've been there for about 15, 16 years. He serves as the senior pastor. And yeah, it's going good. This last Sunday was crazy.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was awesome.
Good, good. Okay, Krista, what about you? Tell us about Brazil.
Brazil's our second church plant as well. Like Brenda, we planted it back at our home state of Denver. My husband was assistant pastor for a few years before we left to become missionaries. And it was interesting. We didn't go out as church planters in Brazil, but we went out in faith to just serve the Lord. And the very first thing that he showed me when we got to Brazil were all of these individuals in prostitution on the corners of our streets, right up the street from our house. Every corner I saw was a worker. And I remember thinking and telling my husband, Kyle, I was like, what is going on here? Like, what are all these individuals doing? There surely has to be a church or a nonprofit or a mission group or an organization that got something going on to help these individuals, because I could not understand why there were so many. And let me get involved. Let me be involved with something already going, because I didn't really want to start anything. And so we prayed and we looked and we searched, and there was nothing. There was no church helping. There was no ministry. There was no government thing helping at the time. This was 8 years ago. And so I prayed, and the Lord put a huge burden on my heart. And I just prayed. I remember I was praying one day to the Lord. And I was just like, Lord, if you've given me this work to do for you, I don't know anything about human trafficking at the time. I don't know anything about prostitution work. I didn't know anything about any of this. I was like, so just tell me, Lord. And he gave me the verse, Proverbs 24:11. And it says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. And I was sitting on the patio of my house in Brazil, and I'll probably cry a little now. Yeah. And I can still see the vision in my head that these people are just walking to their death and nobody's doing anything for them. And the Lord told me then, he's like, you're going to be doing something. And I didn't know what. I just knew I didn't want them going off like sheep to the slaughter, to death, to hell. Like, I knew I loved them. Yeah. And that was the burden I had. And, you know, it's interesting. He gave me the burden. He gave me the call. We named the ministry that. But he had me sit for 2 years just praying, because it wasn't time. Mm. And so, but what the Lord did in that is give my husband a burden for the church. And so the Lord gave me the burden for these individuals, which then sparked a burden in my husband's heart for a church, that if these people wanted to come out of or even just come to a church, that they'd be welcome, because we were searching for other churches. Like, hey, if we work in your area with these individuals, can they go to your church? Can they get connected? And they're like, it's complicated, which means no. And you're like, what do you mean it's not complicated?
It's complicated. And are they going to like clean themselves up and become Christians before they come in?
And that's a lot of the thought that we fight down there in Brazil, is that on the outward, you got to look good. And that's not true. And so the Lord put it on my husband's heart, like, we need a church that's open to receiving whoever and whoever needs Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's how Calvary Baling then started. And so that was over almost six years ago. My husband, we planted that church. He's senior pastor, was up until this a few weeks ago, because now we've handed everything over to the Brazilian Nationals, and it's thriving and it's fantastic. And that's how Calvary Baling started. Because my husband saw this in me, you know, in my burden, and then the Lord gave him this burden, and we worked together in these things, and it's still going.
That's awesome.
And it's just neat. Yeah.
That's awesome. It reminds me of, because we went to East Africa and we planted the church there, but the way we got there was through my wife and her heart and burden for, the kids and orphans and stuff like that. And she heard a missionary speak at the Bible College, Calvary Chapel Bible College, about the need that was there and these missionaries that are doing this work, and we need more laborers in the field, you know, the whole thing. Mm. And we need more money.
Money, people.
Yeah, money and people. And she really had a heart to go and serve in Uganda specifically. And I didn't. I was like, okay, I wanted to be a missionary somewhere, but we ended up going there because of her mm-hmm. passion and her desire. And then we work together, just similar to this, yeah. to plant the church. And yeah. I think it's a great point to get that, get a church. Like, we're not just missionaries out doing the good work, but church planting is the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. Pastor Brian Broderson was on the show here, and that's the one thing that he said that really stuck with me is, we're talking about the Great Commission here. It is to church plant, because all these other good things that we want to do, we want to help the trafficking, we want to help in the orphans and mm-hmm. water wells, whatever it is. It all centers around
a
healthy local church in the community.
Because these people, they need a community. Do they need a church home to go to?
Yeah.
And so it does start there. And that's what we saw. And that's what we really developed in Calvary Baling. And, you know, you can't train the whole church to be out on the streets doing work like we did with Proverbs Ministry. Yeah. But we do have a great team for that. But you can set the culture of your church. So when people come that are different into your church, they know the gospel. Yeah. They know to receive them in love. They know to give them some time mm-hmm. when they might not look like the rest of, you know, what you think. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you just come in and you love them and you're going to share the gospel and things are going to change, but they need to have that time and they need to have that safe
And I
space.
Love that the leadership of the church, which I would include you in that leadership of the church, mm-hmm. is spreading that vision from day one. Like, this is a church where our heart is.
Yeah.
As you led in that vision of reaching those, the prostitution community and the trafficked people, this is a place where they're going to be welcome. Yeah. And, you know, if that's not for everybody, you know, not everybody, it's not easy for everybody to be part of a church. People like to come to church and be comfortable and look nice and do all that. or for other reasons, but you let them know. You know, that was spread down through the church and through
and
the...
And it's super interesting. Like, our church has all sorts of people. You know, it has the doctor and the lawyer, and then we have the homeless. And like I said, we didn't have to have a training seminar for the whole church. Like, oh, when you see the, you know, the drunk person that's passed outside the front of the church, like, we don't have to have a training on how to work with them. Mm-hmm. They already know we're going to bring them in.
Yeah.
And they're invited. And when somebody comes in that's maybe a little, you know... And really, maybe they're drunk off the street.
Crazy.
And they want to sing on the stage. You know, I don't know.
Are you talking about Kyle? Husband?
Yeah.
I've never met him, but.
We've talked to him. We've tried to do an intervention.
Yeah, he's out of control. Yeah. He's unruly.
But the church responds. And I think it's true. It's because they see how we've done these things. Yeah. And that's our heart. And so we have the church's heart is after that. And it's just neat. It's super cool to see.
Yeah. This is kind of off topic, but are you kind of sad that you left?
I'm super sad.
Oh, don't say it right now. Can't say that.
I'm like 4 days out.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Because you're right. You're just coming back.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I know how you feel. If it helps, I know how it is.
It does help. It does help.
But to know that you've handed the church over and you're on to the next phase of ministry in life, it's great. Yeah. Love it. And that's the thing about church planting is, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm not planting a church because, you know, I don't want to live in this other place for my whole life. I feel God calling me and that sort of thing. But a lot of times it's pass it off to the next person. And there's always a next person. Unless your church is going to die with you, there's always a next person that's going to take over and do the work.
And I think to acknowledge that church planting is a gifting from God. Yeah. And some people are church planters. They go, they establish the work. Then they leave.
Yeah.
I think it's the hardest work because you're doing the stuff in the beginning that, like, you have to be generalist, right? You have to do everything.
That's right.
You do take out the trash, you do the dishes, you wash the, you know, you're preaching, you're doing children's ministry, you're making the coffee, like, you're doing it all.
I made coffee today.
I know. And then, like, those aren't the glory days, you know?
It actually overflowed and all the grounds went everywhere, so.
I saw that.
Did you say that?
I stepped away from the kitchen. I was like, I'm not getting blamed for this, but I'm going to come back if it's good.
That's my bad. No, we've got a great team that normally helps out in that. But you're absolutely right. It's you're wearing a lot of hats. You're doing a lot of things. And it's not for everybody. It's hard work.
It is.
You know, I've planted several churches, but I feel like I don't want to do it. It's hard work, but it's rewarding too. It's rewarding.
And it's needful because some things that people couldn't do in the beginning, you can hand it off at that like next stage and they can take it from there.
Yeah.
But they couldn't pioneer. They're not the ones with the machetes, you know, cutting the new path.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. They're establishing it and it's going forward. Great. Okay, Brenda, When She Leads. What is it? What are you all about?
So we started this, initiative within CGN called When She Leads. And one of the things that we saw, like you were saying, it starts with a burden. And I have a burden for women in ministry. Not only the pastor's wife, the assistant pastor's wife, but then those that are in administration, those that are in church law, those that are serving in children's ministry, leading worship teams. Like, there are high-level leaders and servants within the church that we work in this together, right?
Yeah.
Men and women. And we're complementarian in nature, so we believe that women can do a lot in the church except for be an elder. And so within that context, we just have this burden for women who are unsupported. And so we just thought, and God had put this vision on my heart years and years and years ago, and I thought he was going to do it a different way. But just to be a leader of leaders, and to so started with that burden, and we just want to have women come alongside women, help equip them, help connect them one to another, because I think we need a community as well. And it's great to integrate, but we, just like you guys need another man to go to, we need other women to go to that understand what it is to be married to a man in ministry, what it is to be a single woman in ministry, what it is to be a woman who maybe is married to an unsaved man, but in ministry, maybe one that's not involved in ministry, all these different things. So we want to come alongside, we want to equip women, because we believe too that the more we're equipped by the Word of God, the not the easier that ministry is going to be, but the we're going to do it the way Jesus did it, and that's our North Star. We want to do we want to do ministry biblically. We want to do it according to the Word of God, and so we want to equip women. We want to connect women with one another for community, and then we just want to be there to support, pray for, and just build that community of women. And you know, I like to say that, you know, CGN is a network not only for men, it's for women too. It's not a boys club.
Yeah,
we're trying.
Yeah,
we're trying. Yeah, not
here.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. Uh-huh. You've always been here. It's just now there's a place at the table. There's a a bigger involvement.
Yeah, and I think women are scared of that. So I think we need to be clear. This is not women's lib, like, move
over,
men.
Are you guys trying to take over?
Yeah.
Is this feminism?
God forbid. No, but we're in ministry together, and there's so much that we do. We're a body. We're family.
Yeah.
You know, there's moms, there's dads, there's uncles, there's cousins. We all work together, just like the family works.
Yeah. A lot of churches neglect the importance of women in leadership and in ministry. Some overemphasize it, and we know we joke around, is this feminism, whatever. But that's a problem that can happen too, where it's kind of flipped, the pendulum swings. Mm-hmm. What would you say, I mean, as far as women in ministry, women in leadership, and I was thinking about this, like my wife, Lynn, she's, and you guys know her, and she's awesome.
She's awesome.
Yeah. Just in case you're listening, you're awesome.
Lynn,
we love you.
We love
Lynn,
you.
We love you.
You're awesome.
Yep. And, but I was thinking, you know, as we're, I was thinking about this, podcast episode, what is it that our church would be missing if it wasn't for Lynn or for our women, for our leader, women leaders, what would the church be lacking? And I would like to hear what you have to say, but my conclusion was the church probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for, or it'd be really, you know, malnourished, I guess you could say, unhealthy.
I would agree with a lot of that. And my husband Kyle would too. He tells me a lot. He's like, we couldn't do this, our church, Calvary Bling, without the women. You know, we're needed. You know, I shared how Calvary Bling started, and I don't know how that is with everybody, but I know in our church in Calvary Bling, the ministries are strong because a lot of them are led by women. And Kyle gave our a lot of liberty in that. And he supported it, you know, and they're working in their giftings. And because these women are allowed to work in their giftings, these things are just exploding and they're exciting. Yeah. And, you know, some of the women that just kind of wondered, you know, Calvary Chapel in Brazil, like especially in the state we live in, nobody knows about it. Nobody understands. It's not like here in the States where everybody has heard of it. They don't even know anything about it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of questions. And one of the questions is, you know, are women allowed to teach? What's going on? Why don't I ever see you, Krista, up there mm-hmm. teaching on a Sunday? And I explained to them, you know, the view we have. And then I asked them, though, I'm like, do you feel like left out? Do you feel like there's something you can't do in our church? And all of them have said no. I'm like, do you feel supported? You know, is Kyle, you know, and the rest of the, you know, the leadership, are they supporting you in your gifting? And they're like, absolutely. I'm like, so, and so there's no, they're not feeling like they're missing anything.
Are you a worship leader, musician, or songwriter in the church? Christian creatives of every kind are invited to the MADE Creative Conference on February 2nd and 3rd, 2024. This two-day conference is designed to provide a space for church artists and technicians to explore the intersection of theology and art, foster relationships with like-minded creatives, and be equipped to serve Christ and the church in their local context. Featuring worship with Heritage and main sessions with Wesley Towne, Phil Metzger, Justin McRoberts, and Isaac Gay, MADE seeks to host practical workshops and conversations with church creatives from all over the nation. All this and more for only $149. Register today at madecreativeconference.com.
Well, that brings me to an important point, especially within Calvary Chapel, because I've been part of Calvary Chapel for a long time. And it's almost like, especially for pastors' wives, if we're talking about women in ministry, for pastors' wives especially, it's like, okay, he's the senior pastor, he's the head of the church, you know, he does all the ministry and vision and everything. And then the pastor's wife job is, you know, to do women's ministry and children's
piano,
children's ministry and play the piano.
Right.
And but I mean, what are you hoping to see change from that kind of mentality to, all right, because what if Krista's not gifted to do women's? I don't know if you are or not, but to do women's ministry or any of these other things, or even to do ministry within that local church at all. Maybe it's some parachurch group that's, you know, working on stuff. Well, I mean, how are we working to change the mentality to enable women to have more of a role in leadership and in the church?
I think, to go back to your first question, what would we be missing? Half the church.
Yeah.
Because statistically, at least 50% or 60% of the church are women. To your second point, I think that we all have a lot of work to do. This isn't just the men need to get on board with this. Like, I think we as women, we have work to do too. I think we all have to intentionally take a look at this and go, how can we biblically and healthily get this right? Mm-hmm. Not just based on tradition, not just based on what we see in the world, but what we see in the scriptures. You know, Paul traveled with so many women, you know, Aquila and Priscilla, sitting down and doing these things and sharing the word of God. And you see just all these examples of women deacons. And I mean, for years, you know, we're going to commission deacons in our church, female deacons, for one. Why? Because we believe it's biblical. We believe that the scriptures teach it. Why didn't we do it? For really unhealthy reasons.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the culture wouldn't take it. Maybe the people weren't ready for it. We don't want, I've heard this from men, we don't want the drama. That it's, have you heard that?
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm not saying that.
You heard Brian say it here.
Yeah, I just don't want the drama.
Don't want the drama. But that's funny. Because it's biblical.
Not a biblical objection. It's just, I don't want the drama.
So we're trying to get healthier in that way. And I think all of us are trying to get healthier. So we as women, we're trying to navigate, how do we go into a meeting when we're sitting with men? Yeah. You know, because we are more emotional. So maybe we have to check that at the door and just go in with a professional attitude and like, okay, we're going to check our emotions. maybe men have to come in with not having that preconceived idea of what this is going to be, or not wanting to hear a woman's voice, or being intimidated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I have felt intimidated in meetings from, I'll tell Ted, don't ask me any questions. I don't want to share my opinion. Why? Because then I'm going to be viewed as that person that is like aggressive.
Yeah,
you know, for a man, aggression is a very much of a strength.
Yeah, yeah.
For women, not so much. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's just that balance, I think.
Trying to correct that almost a little bit.
Trying to correct that a little bit.
I got that. Brian Bell, Kelly Bell is part of the When She Leads initiative.
Also awesome.
Also awesome, yes. Hi, Kelly. You know, we went to, side note, we went to Israel with them when we planted a church in Washington. And my wife's name's Lynn Kelly. And my name's Brian Kelly. And his name's Brian Bell. And she's Kelly's. Yeah. Bell. So it was Brian's and Kelly's everywhere.
Such a mess.
Yeah. It was a mess.
I call your wife Kelly all the time.
It was a mess.
And I've heard other people
she
do
always,
it too.
She gets Kelly all the time. And I get Brain all the time.
Brain?
Well, just in like emails and stuff.
Yeah. Or Brian the Lesser.
Brian the Lesser. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Brian Bell, he had a theology from a t-shirt, and he sent me the picture of the
Loved
t-shirt
because
I asked him, and it was about Jesus and his relation in women in ministry and, you know, Jesus. And I'll just read it. It says, Jesus protected women, empowered women, honored women publicly, released the voice of women, confided in women, was funded by women, celebrated women by name, learned from women, respected women, and spoke of women as examples to follow. And then it says, our turn. So
yeah, and I love that, because then to be able to do that, you actually have to get to know the women in your church.
Yeah.
So the pastors and the leaders and the men, they can't just not talk to them or us, you know. We have to, you have to get to know us so we can do these things, so you can entrust us with these things. And that takes time, you know, in different areas. So, you know, it's uncomfortable in some ways, you know, but there is a way to do it and to do it well.
Do you think the fear is that just the women are going to start taking over the church and it's going to become unbiblical? Because that's like the criticism. You mentioned complementarianism. I had a really good joke for that because... You know, if someone doesn't know what complementarian means, it means you go around complimenting people all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really easy to understand.
Just like, blow up their bubble.
You look great today.
Yeah. We're complementarian around here.
We're complimentarian.
You
and
look
that's
fantastic.
The weirdest. Yeah, you look great.
Yeah. I think they took Billy Graham's quote, you know, don't touch God's glory, women, or money. And it's like, we just took that a little too far. I think that's one of the fears is that women are going to take over, and there's a big... fear coming out verbally in that. But I think also, you know, we're men and women. Mm-hmm. And so we have to healthily be able to see each other as brothers and sisters, and sin can get in there. And so I think that we have to be very biblical and very healthy about that. But I think there is a way to do that in a healthy way. That
we're men and women,
wise.
But we've been gifted by the Holy Spirit, all of us, for... In this case, church planting. Mm-hmm. So coming back to that initial church planting team, you know, I think back in all of our church plants that we've done, the women have been instrumental, not just in like, hey, come help me, you know, make the coffee.
Yeah. right.
But actually spearheading things like what you're talking about in your church plant and what we're doing here. How to enable that, first of all, make sure that's acceptable. And not like just something that's done secretly, like, you're great leader, but you know, don't get too vocal about it, but like really acknowledge that this is someone on our leadership team.
Yes.
And this is what they're doing. And we wouldn't be where we are today without that. Right. And still have that balance to where we're being biblical about it. I love that point, you know, cause you could go to excesses and stuff.
I think it's hard. Like, I don't know if it's people are fearful. Cause I guess that's more of a question for the men. Like, are they fearful that we're going to take the women are going to take it? I don't know. But I do know maybe a concern is how to do it and maintaining boundaries and to do it well, you know, without compromising, because things can be awkward, you know. Mm-hmm. And so how do you get to know the women in your church that have the calling, but still having your boundaries, because we are man and woman and there are things, and you don't ever want to have a, you know, any room for the devil to come into anything.
Yeah.
And
so
that does make things a little bit more harder. Does it mean that you can't do it? No, but I think maybe in the past, that's maybe why some of the churches didn't. They're like, oh, I can't really, you know, get to know her or him, because you know, we're...
There's going to be extra challenges, so I'm just not going
to
do it.
Yeah, right, and so you've got to think
the
through
drama.
Those. You know,
yeah, the drama.
You bring somebody else with you, you know? It's not a one-on-one thing. You see, and it does make things more complicated, but you protect, you know, the woman and her relationship with her husband if she's married, and the man with his wife, and you got to be wise in that, and... I think that can be hard too. And so, of course, it is a lot easier for guys to probably be like, I'm just going to go with him because I can just go out to lunch with him really quick and we can have a fast talk. And
but he may not be gifted for the thing that you want to get done.
And that's the problem.
Who cares if you can go out to lunch with him? Yeah. Just, you know, you just work around it and then...
And it just complicates it. So maybe that's part of it too. But I think the guys in the church that really are wanting to activate the women, like the full potential of the body, they're going to navigate around that and they're going to be like, yeah, it might be more difficult, but I'm just going to take, you know, this other guy with me we're going to go and we're going to have a nice talk and it's going to be, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in church planting. I mean, you rarely get to like have a, it's not like there's a whole bunch of people that are gifted that you're just going to get to select from. Like it's a, you know, like you're running a football team or something and you're drafting. You work with the people that God has called and gifted to your specific situation, both men and women. And you have to be able to adapt. I think a lot of these young church planters who have grown up in a church where women were not included in the ministry are struggling because they don't see the potential of the women's role in planting a new church, like big roles. And so I think to kind of open that up, I mean, I went and took over a church. It was kind of a replant, but great church. And it was the worship leader was a woman, but she wasn't the worship leader. The pastor was the worship leader, he said. Okay, so I don't want to get into
details.
She
was a secret worship.
Yeah, she was a secret. But no, wait, there's more. She was extremely gifted, one of the best singers, worship leaders that I've ever heard, very talented musician. And she would be up on stage, and her husband had to be up there with her because she wasn't allowed to pray on the stage because she was a woman.
I forgot you had cameras. I don't have my poker face on.
We're like this.
Most people would just be listening, but just so if you're just listening, Brenda has... Shock and awe on her face. And that was, you know, because of this misconstrued thing of, you know, women have a role in the church and men have a role in the church and this is a woman's role and this is, and that was kind of distorted a little bit or a lot of it. So she had to teach her husband how to sing. He could do all right. He couldn't play any instrument, but he just had to stand up there and be the worship leader on stage. Mm. And she was just a guitar player and singer. I guess that was okay.
Yeah.
But then he had to pray, so she wasn't allowed to pray on stage. And then when we came into the church, they told me about that, and I laughed. I thought it was a joke at first. I'm like, oh, that's a good joke, funny.
Yeah.
And then now they're like, serious. And then when I said, no, I said to this guy, you don't have to sing anymore. You don't have to be on stage. He's like, oh, good. I didn't like you. Anyone didn't like being up there.
Say how awkward for him.
And then I said to this girl that, you know, you're the worship leader. God hasn't called me to be the worship leader. I'm called to teach and to be an elder of the church because we mentioned the male role of the elder in the church.
Right.
That's what we believe. That's what complementarianism. But you're called to have vision and direction from God within the vision of the church, of course.
Under his leadership.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's your... And I've never seen someone... I mean, they're already gifted tremendously in worship and that sort of thing, but someone change and just brighten up and just really thrive. And it just changed everything. Just that thing of this woman who was called to this position that was not allowed to operate in that because of that tradition.
It's so hard. I remember when my first years of ministry, the first church that we helped plant back in Colorado, our home state, I've used this analogy before when we were talking, but it's like kind of blooming where you're planted. You're supposed to be able to bloom. And I had this vision, like, you know, I'm coming up and there's like these hard rocks. And then, but the church I was at, it was really hard because they didn't understand me or my calling, and they just weren't supporting that. And I had just kind of had to go to the children's ministry. And that was okay. I had
young
kids. I could do that. And I had young kids then, but I knew my heart were for women and hurting women. And so I felt like I would like sprout up a little bit, and then there's another rock on it, and you're like, oh, and you get crushed back down. And then you just keep, you know, trying to go out of this hard ground. And it shouldn't be like that in a church. It shouldn't be like that. Like, we were in leadership. We were new, like Brenda and Ted were in their first, you know, church plant. We were like that too, young in Christ, young in all this, not really knowing what we're doing. And I kind of thought, well, this is just how it is for women. Like, this is just what it is for me. Like, I really feel like I'm called to do this, but I can't. So I'm going to do this. And just praise the Lord, He brought people into my life that are like, no, you can do this. It gave me confidence in that, even when I wasn't being supported in the church. And I'm like, oh, I can. Yeah. And then my husband was like, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. Good. And, good for him.
And then we did.
The funny thing about that church that I was talking about is on the back wall of the sanctuary, there was this huge mural, and it was the women after the resurrection. It was the empty tomb, and it was the women running from the empty tomb to go tell the first, you know,
wait,
to be the evangelist to the apostles, who, by the way, when they were told, said, we don't believe that, you're just telling us a story. And that was you know, as you know, the beginning of the church and everything. But I think there's just such a big place for this kind of teaching, especially within Calvary Chapel. A biblical, balanced view of this. And when we're going out planting these churches, we want to plant churches that have the balanced view of what it means to be a woman leader, a woman in ministry, and also for pastors' wives who are called into ministry and leadership along together with their husbands.
Yeah, and I think that that needs to be set free. Let's be honest, those scriptures are hard to navigate. Mm-hmm. They're hard to figure out. Some of them seem very vague to me, you know, the stuff in First Timothy, I think it is, talking about, you know, women teaching and okay, what does that mean? And we've all come up with our own idea of what that means. And someone had said it before, but just giving people grace to figure that out along the way, because I think that we've been taught one thing and we're kind of coming up and saying, is that really what his intention? What was his intention here? And everybody kind of takes those things differently. But I think having grace and giving the pastor the ability, the elder of the church, it's supposed to be the guy we say that's overseeing the church, giving him the ability to interpret that for his congregation, what that looks like. It doesn't mean one's right. I think that we're all right and we're all wrong all at the same time. We might miss this.
Yeah, we're all going to be corrected when we get to heaven. We're going to be like, oh,
but let's be gracious towards one another for
in the meantime,
how we're interpreting. Unless it's like ridiculous, like the poor man. How humiliating for the man to stand on the stage and try to say
anything. Like, bless his heart.
Girl, we can't be late to church. We got to see that worship.
He's such a nice guy, too. Well, the sad thing about that story is they had confided in me before there was an announcement that I was coming to be the new pastor, and they said the very Sunday that was announced was the Sunday they just had decided. They had been at this church for 10-15 years that they were going to leave the church because you know, that was just a stifling experience. Not being able to operate in the gifts that God has given you is very stifling. It's quenches
hurting. That's when
you're not quenched the spirit.
That's what I felt like in the earlier days, in the very first, like, had my husband not been in, the second guy at the church, I felt like that hurt I had gone through, not just with not being able to operate in my giftings, which, by the way, I was just beginning to understand what my giftings were. They weren't encouraged, and I didn't know much about it. I think that would have been something, had the Lord not made me stay, it would have been something where people leave the church. And so I'm so thankful that my husband was in the position. It wasn't a choice, but I was thinking, man, if I wasn't in this position, it's so easy to just be like, you know what? I'm not doing this. But the Lord was so gracious, you know, just graceful and merciful and protective and carried me through.
Let me ask you a question, then we'll end with a final thought. What would you say to someone who's part of a church planting team or even part of an existing church, a woman that is struggling in this way with an inability to be able to fulfill what she believes God is calling her to do? How can that person, I mean, we're talking to leaders of churches, so it's easy for leaders because you just say, okay, now we're going to, you know, slowly or change these policies or whatever it is. What would you say to someone that's in a church or in a church planning team that is not really being allowed to fulfill that, what God's called them to do as a woman?
I mean, first I would probably encourage, obviously, prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer. I would encourage a woman to start a dialogue about what she feels gifted in and how she can feel like she's using those giftings. Obviously, she's not in charge. So depending on the philosophy of ministry, I would ask questions about what's your philosophy of ministry? What do you believe about women in ministry? Because maybe it's just not a good fit for the person. Maybe if she feels like she should be doing something. I mean, God has used that to move people on, like, you know, okay, I'm never going to be able to serve. But I also think having open and honest conversations about, let's look at what scripture says. What does it say? How can I fulfill this? Sometimes it's just the leadership going, man, I haven't considered that. I heard one situation where the guys were meeting in the room and they kept running out to the office to get the answers from the administrator of the church who had all the information that they needed for their meeting.
Hey guys, I have an idea. Why don't you bring the administrator in?
And she was bold enough to say, hey, why don't you just bring me in the room? I have all the information. I could share it with you. And it was like,
because people might think you have ideas.
Yeah. Light bulb. You know, we could have her in the room without feeling threatened. She's not unbiblical because she's sitting in a meeting trying to help the elders of the church make a decision. Yeah. She doesn't have to be an elder to do that. Yeah. So I think it's opening up those conversations about, let's talk about this. Even with in our own network, we're just having a conversation about this. Like, these are healthy conversations. Mm-hmm. And sometimes leadership is tension. Leadership is going into that conflict and going, okay, let's wrestle through this.
Yeah.
Is what we thought for 40 years, is that right? Is, you know, what's right? What's wrong? And I've like just labored over these kind of women texts. Like, what's God getting at here? What's Paul actually saying? Yeah, yeah. What was going on in the culture? What's going on in our church? How can I navigate that? How can I use my gifts in a way that's fulfilling, and I can put wisdom into the church, help build culture, help leadership? My strength, I think, is leadership. So how can I affect the church in that way without overstepping the laws that God has given?
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't have to worry about, oh, I feel less than, because God's given that in his word that we believe that elders should run the church and they should be male. I am completely okay with that, and I am completely submissive to that order.
Because you're
structure.
In a healthy church that values and gives place to women in leadership.
Yeah, I feel valued.
Yeah.
I feel
and if
heard.
It doesn't, you just talk to your husband and tell him.
Yes.
I would
just going to make a joke there.
You were going to make a joke?
On.
Oh, no, you don't
you
have to put
filter?
The filter on around here.
Tell me later.
You don't have to put the filter on around here.
If I could just add a little bit about, because what you were saying is like, what if they feel like they're not using their giftings? And I agree with everything you said, Brenda, of having the dialogue, talking, and then submitting. But I would also add waiting.
Yep.
Because, and
that's a good word.
And don't fight for it. You don't, if the Lord has put a burden on you and he's called you to this work, you will be doing it. You don't have to fight. You don't have to argue with anybody. You can sit back and wait. I mean, I've had to wait for years and things, and you will be called. The Lord will pull you up and use you in the time. And so there's just no point in that. So just do everything. Pray, talk to them, when it, be quiet and wait. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will use you. And
learning to submit when we don't, because we think, oh, I'm submissive. Well, submission doesn't really begin until you disagree with something, right? Otherwise, it's just agreement. So if you're if you're learning submission is a really good quality to have, that okay, I don't agree with that leader, but I can submit. I think that's a great lesson for even
and submit you to
later.
One another. The scripture says.
Yes. So.
Let's end with some last words. Man, this episode has gone by way too fast. I'd love to have you guys back on again.
So
it's also been a lot of drama, too, because there's more women
here.
So
there we go.
A lot of drama.
There
of drama.
We go again, Brenda.
There you go. Okay, but I just want to point out to our listeners that When She Leads, you have a podcast yourself, Brenda. And so go search that podcast up, and they've got a bunch of episodes. They're awesome.
Yep. On every podcast platform, whensheleads.org. We got Zoom calls going on. We have Karen coaches. Yep. We do live events. We go to churches equip women and do a conference Friday night, Saturday. We'll fly in, we'll equip, we'll spend time with your women. We love that.
Yeah. Church, no church too small or too big. You guys will come in and do it. So it's awesome. And so check that out, whensheleads.org.
Yep.
And then the podcast as well.
Yeah.
And we'll also keep you updated on what the Fox family is going to be up to in the future. We'll be praying for you guys.
Thank you.
Any last words, Krista?
Just thank you. Thank you for having us on. Thank you for this talk and this dialogue and opening it up. I'm really excited to see what God's going to do in all these women's lives and the husbands that are hearing this.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear.
Hey, I've got this great podcast you should listen to. Brenda, what do you have to say?
I'm appreciative that we're having the conversation. It's been exciting to even more so collaborate with men I will just tell you, I've been in ministry 30 years and she had asked me, would you come to Brazil? I'm like, no, I don't like dirt.
It's hot.
I don't want to walk far. I hate the heat.
They got good food, though.
Yeah, they do have amazing food. Brazilian barbecue, for certain.
She'll come back for that.
I will, for sure. But in that collaboration, you know, we're talking about going to Uganda and we're talking about going to all these different places and the Cultivate ministry collaborating with When She Leads. And it's just such a beautiful thing. To like, what can you do? I'm a visionary. So it's like, what could be?
Yeah.
What can we do if we can collaborate with men and women in this biblical way? Like, what might the Lord do?
It's just
exciting.
Awesome.
Very exciting.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
Well, thanks for joining us today. We hope you find this content helpful. Hey, stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook for all that is going on. We'll see you next time.